found a house and started a school, and we named it Providence Day.
You're hearing this straight from the horse's mouth. It's the official podcast of Providence Day School, bringing you spirited, informative, and entertaining conversations from the PD community. Now here's our host, a familiar face and voice on the PD campus, world language teacher, Jay Barron.
Well, it is a true pleasure today on From the Horse's Mouth to be speaking with Gene Braddock, former head of school, headmaster when you were here, I believe is the preferred title. I believe we've now become head of school. Maybe that's an example of how things have changed. I don't know. I didn't wear a tie today, and I feel a little strange. But you look great, as always.
Well, thank you. Thank you. I appreciate that. You know, the flattery has always been one of your greatest characteristics.
And so, don't tell anybody, right?
Yeah.
No, but it's really great of you to come on and just talk to us today a little bit. Obviously, I want to talk some about your tenure, your 21 years at Providence Day, maybe catch up with you a little bit as to where you are in life these days as well. Where are you these days?
Well, these days, I'm living with my wife in Davidson, and we have a little condo on Lake Norman. And so that's where we are. We spend a lot of time driving to New Jersey, where we have a 12-year-old grandson.
Wonderful.
So we get up there and see some of his baseball and basketball games, and get to see his performance in the school band.
Okay.
So that's our life up and down the interstates.
Full-time grandpa.
Yes.
That's wonderful.
Yeah.
Congratulations.
Thank you.
You hired me in 2004. I don't know how I slipped past.
But you were one of the best hires I ever made, Jay.
Well, flattery is one of your great characteristics, Pete. But it's been fun thinking about those.
I see you're choked up now.
Yeah, right. Exactly. You got me. You got me with that. That's just when I started wearing neckties again. In many ways, it's fair to say that you, with a lot of good work from a lot of people, built this campus in the way it is today. Just digging around in an old Providence Day magazine, during your tenure, PD went from about 65,000 square feet to 280,000 square feet. It doubled its campus size from roughly 21 acres to 43. Looking back on that time, are there any moments that really stand out for you, either the great victories or maybe the challenges? Because that's a lot of building that you did over 21 years.
Well, first of all, it wasn't just me, obviously. We have an incredible community here at Providence Day School. And so when I first got to the school, the first thing I noticed as we drove up to the school for my interview was coming down the road and then looking at the school to my right, I saw the tops of some buildings and some vent pipe sticking out.
Uh-huh.
And I said, so that's Providence Day School. And I thought, and that's probably what prospective parents say when they drive by the school before they come in. So I kind of put that in the back of my mind, and I thought, we're going to have to get that fixed if I get this job.
So was that the priority, to get the school known in the community?
Well, the priority was, first of all, to have an appearance to prospective parents that look like we're a school, not like we're a munitions factory.
Okay.
And so, you know, first appearances last a long time, first impressions. And so I thought, you know, some parents are just going to drive by and just say, you know, Fred, just keep on driving because this doesn't look like a place where we want to put little Angela. And so when our, I guess it was my second year, board decided to have a capital campaign, and we're talking about what to build. I had heard that the school had a capital campaign a couple of years before to build a fine arts center. Not enough money was raised for that, so they weren't able to build that. They built an extension to the gymnasium, and I thought, okay, so this makes it pretty clear. We're going to have to build a fine arts center. and I know just the place to put it.
Uh-huh.
And so, you know, we have to come up out of the hole, and we have to put a building that looks very attractive to people who pass by the school. So everyone agreed, the board agreed, and we announced a campaign for the Fine Arts Center. And so that building is still there, and we're very proud of that because it did exactly what we hoped it would, and that is to make the school have a presence. In fact, some people I know in town started asking me, gee, are you going to become the fine arts school now?
Uh-huh.
Because this is what we know. It's the Fine Arts Center. And I said, no, that's just one part of what we do. We're very proud of our fine arts program, but we have other programs we're really proud of. And as time goes by, we'll have better facilities for all of them.
And at that point, of course, Dixon Hemby was not here yet.
Correct.
Academic Center, the library, the MAC. For those of you familiar with the campus, that ferry boat is now a very central. Was that part of the idea that there would be a central campus that would be surrounded by buildings?
Well, it became the idea. When I first got here, our entrance was at the traffic light. And so people coming onto campus would have to come down and then make a loop and come back out. The city was after us all the time because the carpool backed up through the traffic light, and they were not happy with that.
No.
So eventually we worked out an agreement with the church next door so that half of that current entrance is on their property and half on our property, but it also gives them an access to the back of their parking lot as well.
Yeah, and Sardis Presbyterian is still a very good neighbor. I'm sure that they're all there for every football game, just watching from the second floor. But of course,
we're lucky there's not a house there because people would complain bitterly,
right, I suppose,
about the football.
You know, in the PD magazine that I was looking at, just to remember to get warmed up for talking with you today, you're so much more than any buildings that you participated in putting up. People said, described you as a supportive boss, as a thoughtful boss, someone who believed in hiring good people and letting them do their jobs. My favorite, though, was your former assistant, Trish Strunges, who said, quote, he let me do what I needed to do without hovering over me. So that's good.
Well, first of all, I never thought of myself as a boss. And most of the people we were able to hire over the years, I thought of them as colleagues, no matter what their job was. And we're all here to do the same thing, build a great school so that the kids who come here get a great education and a great experience. And so everybody contributes to that. So while there might have been a hierarchy of sorts, that never was something that came to my mind. We're all colleagues. We're all working together. So my job was just to make sure that everybody had what they needed to get their job done.
Well, I remember as a new teacher here, certainly feeling that way. You were always someone who asked about things. You greeted me as senor, which was my proper title, which I appreciate. I've shared that title since with other people as well. But also Barbara Fricke mentioned you and described you as a visionary. Help us out now, Mr. Braddock. What should our vision, in your opinion, now that we're all grown up in 2020, what do you think?
Wow.
Hmm.
I think the current head of school should answer that question.
Fair
and
enough.
And I think he already has in one of your podcasts.
That's right. That's right.
But no, the only thing I could say is seems that since I left here, the school's gotten bigger, has more attractive, well-functioning buildings. Programs have expanded. And so, you know, I can just think of an old 19th century labor leader who, when he was asked, what do you people want? And he said, more. And I think Providence Day, I should just keep on thinking about what more can we do here to help our students become the best academic, athletic, and moral individuals that we can possibly have. And so, you know, that's the beauty of hiring people, no matter what their role is in the school, who are first-rate people, because they will keep coming up with ideas.
Mm.
And I think the head of school can just say, you know, that's a great idea, let's do it. Or maybe that idea needs a little more work. Or maybe that doesn't fit our mission. That's not who we are. So that's really not for us. And so as far as what the school can do from this point on, I think the school has done a lot. And but, you know, the world keeps changing.
Right.
What we need in terms of students coming out, what kind of education they need, what insights do they need, what knowledge do they need. I think that's where you need great professionals, as you have here at Providence Day, to say, okay, here's what we need to do now, because here's what's needed.
I was wondering if you would tell us the story, speaking of programs that you helped participate in, of making Providence Day the global school that it is today. Can you tell us a little bit about how that whole conversation started?
I can tell you exactly that. I just talked with Bobby Henson, and she showed me the certificate that I had gotten from Worldview, which is an organization run out of the University of North Carolina, Chapel Hill. In the summer of 2001, I got an invitation to come to that program they run in the summer. It's a week-long program on the campus of Chapel Hill. And it was just a great program, especially since I was an undergraduate major in government and in international relations. And here we have all these great professors from Duke and University of North Carolina coming in to give us lectures on their area of expertise, all about international affairs and events. And but the point of the program was to inspire these superintendents of public schools, who were the majority, vast majority of the people attending, to have more international-oriented curriculum. And I think I was the only non-public school person at this event. But at the end of it, I think we're all a little surprised when the director said, why don't you all turn in your plan for how you're going to have more global studies in your schools? And I think we all turned to each other and said, oh, really? Okay, so, and we want you to turn that plan in tomorrow morning.
So that, teachers get homework, too.
That's right.
The
administrator, yeah, right.
Administrators get homework. Okay.
So that night I, you know, drew on everything I could think of to make up a draft of a plan for putting in global studies. And I thought, well, this is a really nice idea, but I'm not so sure how many people would think this is a good thing to do, because it's going to cost some money, it's going to take some time and energy. And so I just kind of put it on the shelf. But that, I guess 2 months later, we had a board retreat. And the board chair, who, it was a great retreat. We were talking about plans for the coming school year, what our goals and objectives would be. He said, Gene, after dinner tonight, I want you to get up and give a talk about the next big thing at Providence Day. And I'm thinking, you're telling me now to get up and make a talk about the next big thing? Incredible. And then I thought, wait a minute. I've got just the thing here. The thing that I thought, I'm not sure this would fly. He's asking me to present this. So it's basically what I did that night. I presented a plan for global studies. And I thought, I kind of hoped everybody would say, oh, that's a good idea. They were enthusiastic. They said, this is great. You should do it. So they basically charged me with doing global studies. And so I was pretty charged up and came back, and I said, the first thing I'm going to have to do is talk to division heads and get them to agree that this is a good thing to do, because they're going to have to carry a lot of responsibility here, because we wanted to do this K through 12 or TK through 12. And so I was not surprised when they all said, that's great, let's do it. I mean, we had Lucky Rousseau, we had Sam Caudill.
Lower school and middle school heads at the
yes,
time.
Yes, and Ben Topham, head of the upper school. And I'm not surprised that they said, that's great, let's do it. And so we went about planning how we're going to do this. And there are a couple of features that I particularly like that we came up with, which I thought were unique. I didn't know of any other school doing this. One was that we would issue four upper school students at graduation a global studies diploma if they fulfill the requirements of that diploma, and which would include foreign travel. And then the second thing was we would issue a global teaching certification to teachers who fulfill certain requirements, including foreign travel. And again, our students jumped on it. I was quite surprised that I thought this would be attractive maybe to freshmen and sophomores who'd say, you know, okay, we've got 4 years to do this. Juniors and seniors said, can we get it? And we said, gee, you know, you don't have much time to get it. No, we want it.
Yeah, that first graduating class after the idea came out, as I understand it, kind of scrambled so they could meet some requirements almost immediately.
Yes.
Yeah.
Which I thought was great. And so, I mean, part of the success of this, a big part of it, was the enthusiasm everybody in the school community showed for it. You know, it could have been an idea that people say, well, that's real nice, but we're not interested. Mm. Or it's real nice, but, you know, maybe 5 years from now. Everybody said, yes, let's do it, and let's do it now. So we implemented the program, and I think everybody jumped in. The librarians said, hey, we can put up some flags in the library for different countries. And it even got to the point where math teachers were saying, how can we incorporate global studies into the math program? So I'm imagining word problems instead of going from Boston to New Orleans on train at 35 miles an hour. They're going from someplace in Argentina to Chile.
Sure.
And, you know, so at any rate, everybody just quickly got on board. And I think it became a pretty proud thing for our community to hold up and say, nobody else has this. And we do, and we're committed to it, and it's great.
Well, I couldn't agree more as a language teacher, obviously, but also as a dad. My older daughter, who's now 15, is involved as a freshman in high school with this program. But one of the memories that I have in recent history was she was involved in some backstage work at the Diwali celebration that we had here on campus, and she came home, and it was wonderful. She said the food was great, the show was interesting, and it was just a new area for her, and the fact that it was just right here on campus, that in my mind almost feels like maybe you living up in Davidson get to experience some things where it's a small town and there are speakers or there are cultural events or whatever. It was that part of the vision early on? Did you want that kind of event on campus, or what were you seeing?
Yeah, we wanted to think of everything we possibly could to say we're global. Mm. We started a global lecture series. So we invited speakers from Duke, Chapel Hill, Davidson College, and other places who had expertise and international relations. And they came, and we made these free. They were open to the public. Why? Because we wanted people to know. If you wanted to know something about international relations, Providence Day, they're doing it. They've got it, and they're committed to it, and they're always doing something over there with global. And so we just thought of everything we can think of, and if somebody had an idea that seemed halfway less than wacky, we said, you know, let's run with it. Let's see if this will work. And we figured if it doesn't work, we'll find out. But I guess I've always been a person who has never been afraid to pilot new things. Because, you know, what's the loss if it doesn't work? Well, then we just stop doing it. Or if it doesn't work at first, we have to say maybe it just needs a little more refining.
Sure. Yeah. Are there things that you miss being here on campus, being here at PD?
I miss everything. It's just such a great place. And of course you miss the people, and coming in every day and people talking about things that they're working on and things they're trying to get done. And you know, it's just a great environment. And so how could I not miss it is the question, really. It's just, I was fortunate to be able, in my restlessness after retirement, go on to be an interim head at a couple of other schools. Mm-hmm. But that's very different from being the long-term head, because an interim, you know, you're only going to be there for a short time. So sure. You can't start something you know you cannot finish. And something like a global studies program is something that has to be nurtured year after year after year.
But it is. It has been years, and it continues to develop, and it continues to take new directions, which is thrilling, of course.
But, you know, it's not only that, Jay. It's everything. Global studies is one part of the program. And I've been enjoying watching some of the successful basketball players at the next level.
Right.
And so, you know, Kansas has a good little player, and he graduated from here, and then I see another guy's playing for the Boston Celtics now.
Yes, I've heard of him as well. Yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, I sit there, watch those guys, and say, you know, they graduated from Providence Day, so I know it isn't just basketball that they can do. They have an ability to think and to solve problems, and they have a knowledge base. They're going to be okay after basketball because
yeah.
They got a good education here.
I think I caught a little snippet of Grant Williams doing some of an interview in Spanish, and so
really,
that's all that matters, really, at the end of the
day.
You. It has absolutely been a pleasure catching up with you. Thanks for coming in and talking with me.
Oh, thank you, Jay. It's been a pleasure seeing you again.
Good. Thanks.
All right.
Thank you for joining us for this episode of From the Horse's Mouth, our spirited official school podcast. Be sure to join us again to hear the voices of our global PD community. You can find episodes and more information at www.providenceday.org/podcast or look for us on Apple Music, Spotify, and anywhere else you listen to your favorite podcasts.
Was a very, very, very fine house with classrooms in the den. Who could have guessed it then? And now everything is here because of